Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
You know, this isn't on the docket this week, and I'm kind of glad because I can't decide which aspect of it that I'm the most irritated about, and that's the Republicans trying to torpedo the debt ceiling right now as much as they possibly can. I think where I'm landing is, why do we still have a debt ceiling? It's probably the thing that most annoys me more than anything else, because it doesn't really make any sense.
No, it doesn't. I received an email today at work saying, well, if things don't work out by 11:59 on Thursday, gonna have to take some PTO. I was like, I have plenty because I've been home for 2 years. it's fine. Hopefully it's not like the Trump administration.
But you shouldn't have to use the J. You shouldn't be forced to use this PTO.
I'm not forced, Brad. I could just not get paid. That's also an option that they listed, which I was like, that's not an option for me. Thanks. I'm not independently wealthy.
But because we're not getting into that this week, I just want to remind anyone who's getting caught up in the pretty, you know, generally poor reporting that always happens around these things, is that the Republicans are fighting raising the debt ceiling on things that they purchase over the last several years.
Yeah,
not because of things that we're doing right now.
Right. I need people to really understand that this is a grift, right? Like this is a political grift. Meaning, like, I see people like, how does the government run out of money? Blah, 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 blah. You know, like, this is ridiculous. They already tax us. I'm like, but that's not what the debt ceiling
debt ceiling is at all. The debt ceiling is an imaginary, it really is a magic thing that just exists. That's an arbitrary cap that the government puts on the amount of debt that America can have, essentially. It can literally be whatever it wants to be, or
nothing
at all.
Yeah. Or not at all. Right. Like, this, it doesn't do anything because, like Brad said, these are things they've already purchased. This is just, it's like eating a meal 6 months ago and then you get the bill today.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, can you just sign off on this? Like, we already have your bank account information. We just need you to sign that we can bill you for the thing you did 6 months ago. All we have to do is go, yeah, sign. That was a delicious meal. I enjoyed it. Thank you. Or I don't even remember it. It's more like that, right? I don't even remember this fucking meal. It was 6 months ago. And then we move on. Yeah. The way the Republicans like to portray this in the news, for some reason, just will not talk about. They pretend like, hey, I'm going out for a meal this weekend, but I got to sign this piece of paper to say it's okay. Like, so we're we're not going to do that.
Literally, you have Republicans that are right now saying, oh, the debt ceiling is out of control because of all the money Democrats are spending. I'm like, nope, that's not at all what you guys are fighting about right now. Not even a little bit.
So here's my question. Is there a possibility that the Republicans are being genuine that they're being genuine and they truly believe that that's how the debt ceiling works, and they are completely clueless as to how it actually works? I think there's a possibility that some of these Republicans, especially the real nut bars in the House, I think it's a possibility they don't understand what the debt ceiling is.
That's possible.
We got to credit a level of stupidity. I don't think Louis Gohmert knows what the debt ceiling is. I highly disagree.
He was a judge.
Yes, we discussed that a number of weeks ago, and I'm still not over it. I feel like we might have to live stream us taking the LSATs. Like, I think we do. I think we should just live stream this shit.
How long is that test?
I don't know. I'm going
to
Google.
I'll have to ask a friend of mine who's a lawyer how long it takes to take the LSATs. And could I pass it, having not gone to law school for a single day, but having watched the vast majority of episodes of Law and Order and Law and Order Special Victims Unit? And he'll, of course, say no. And I'll say, yeah, you say no, but Louis Gohmert was a judge.
It's a lawyer.
And so he must have passed the LSATs at one point in time.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I feel like It's approximately 3 hours for a standard test taker. 3 hours, Brad?
And I'm an above average test taker. Like, I could probably knock that shit out in 2:15.
I get a little bit of test anxiety, I will admit. But considering I don't know anything, I'm just guessing, right? Can I do abracadabra on a Scantron? is it fine if there's
like essay questions? Like, I would absolutely reference like a Jack McCoy like cross examination or a courtroom like closing statement. They'd be like, Jack McCoy, Sam Waterston from character from Law and Order. I was like, yes.
Wait, whoa. What kind of equipment do I need to take the LSAT? A laptop or desktop with Windows or Mac operating system? A strong and stable internet connection? What? Well,
so Andy's out is what you're saying.
Oh. No. Hold on. Can I, like, just Google shit? Because I'm going to pass the LSAT, guys. I'm going to do it. I'm an IT person by trade. I'm really good at Googling. Like, this is part of my job. I'm declaring it right now. I think that I could pass the LSAT with a 3 hour window.
Dude, I'm like intermediate level in Microsoft Excel. How could I not pass the LSAT? Do you know how much I had to learn from Google in Excel? Come on.
Dude, I hate Excel. I love it.
It's the best.
This is the whitest thing you've ever said on the show. Jesus Christ. Only white people love Excel. That's a fact, by the way. It's undeniable. The only people who love Excel are white. So the debt ceiling thing, you're absolutely right. Like, it's nuts, and it's such a fake controversy. Like, that's the thing that is just maddening, is that how fake of a controversy it truly is. All right, so let's get into it, because this week is a doozy. It starts with a doozy and it ends with a doozy.
Well, so the best part is the thing that it starts with. I had no clue about any of this.
I just found out.
Yeah, you brought this to my attention. I got to say, I clicked on the article on HuffPo, and the still image that they use in the video.
Horrifying.
It's fucking spectacular and the most apropos image I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh my God. This is a criminally offensive image of Rudy Giuliani. Jesus Christ. So this is, you know what? Hold on. Let me hold on a second. I'm drinking. Oh, I didn't know this. Woman-owned 10th Ward Distilling Company's smoked whiskey sour.
God, all I have is a Vitamin water. I feel so bad. Wait, you're drinking a canned whiskey sour?
My wife picked this up. Brad, relax. Me? Come on. Does that sound like something I would do?
It doesn't sound like something you would do.
No, it does not.
Which is why I'm befuddled.
Yeah, I'd be like, I'm going to make one myself. But it's a local place, so that's cool. So Rachel Maddow had this report, which is really super interesting, about Rudy Giuliani is in the midst of the Dominion lawsuit against him, right? Mm-hmm. Which they're suing him for, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, $1 billion or something insane like that.
It's a lot, actually. It's more than that. Isn't it like several billions of dollars?
It might be like $2.5 billion or something. Like, look, once you hit $1 billion, like, who gives a shit? Like, just pay these people, right? They got all the time in the world. So in the court documents, there is this whole exchange between the Dominion lawyer and Giuliani, right? And how Giuliani was like, the Dominion voting machines are the worst. They are what started it all. They're the most corrupt, right? And so Dominion's like, we're the most corrupt? All right, bet. We want our billions of dollars, right? So during the lawsuit, this article, and you look, the article is linked in the show notes, so definitely go there, because like there's the video of Maddow kind of reading this, which I think is important, because she puts her certain flair on it, which is always good. She's a really good storyteller. But I'll just read this. The Colorado lawsuit brought by former Dominion voting system security director Eric Coomer against Trump's reelection campaign attorneys Giuliani and Sidney Powell, she in a world of trouble too, and right-wing crusaders and media outlets. The lawsuit is one of multiple challenges led by Dominion seeking damages for lies spread by Trump and his allies about electoral fraud. Okay, this is Coomer's lawyer talking to Giuliani. This is insane. Quote, in terms of eyes on information about Dr. Coomer, we've got some media reports that you generally described and then you looked at some Facebook postings that you described. Giuliani responds, I don't remember if it was Facebook. Those social media posts get all one to me. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I think it was Facebook. Then the lawyer says, right now, or really Giuliani says, right now, I can't recall anything else that I laid eyes on. And then it goes into this whole thing of like, they're asking him, where did you get this information? Basically, where did you get this information that this Dominion voting machine conspiracy theory like is real? He's like, I don't know, Facebook, but I don't really remember. It might have been Instagram. And they're like, anything else? Like actual fucking evidence that you have besides like a Facebook post? It's not real, old man. And so he was like, they asked him like, okay, well, you said that you had a witness who had seen firsthand these things that you're promoting, that, you know, this corruption during the electoral process. And they were like, can you talk about that? They were like, did you interview that person? He was like, well, no, I didn't interview that person. This is a fast moving case. Who has the kind of time to interview, their client to verify if it was real? Like, he was like, I wish it actually had the full write out here, but like, he was basically like, I would be a bad lawyer if I spent all my time not giving my client the benefit of the doubt. That's what he said. That's what he said. So he admitted in a case that is about completely bogus, like bogus conspiracy theories.
Election fraud claims,
yeah. Right. He's saying that, no, I just got it off of Facebook. No, I didn't ask the person who said that they witnessed it. I didn't have time. And they said, well, do you understand the term? What did they say? Guilty by press conference. He was like, yeah, I've heard the term. And he was like, no, this wasn't guilty by press conference. This was investigation by press conference. So they just we just started a press conference and then like that started the investigation. Like, fuck it. Who cares? Yo, you're going to lose $1 billion. Like, what are you doing? Like, that's the best you have is I saw it on Facebook and I didn't have time to interview the person who I said was credible. That's the best he has.
Mike and I just recorded.
Holy shit.
A new episode of Men with Golden Tongues where we're discussing the plot of Metal Gear Solid 2, the video game. And one of the central plot points of the game is that you come to discover that the USA is actually run by like an Illuminati organization, essentially.
As you
That's run by 12 people that are concerned because of the – and the game came out like in 2001. They're concerned about the advancement of the information age due to the internet because human beings are too stupid to actually like discern like to be able to sift through bullshit essentially. And they'll have so much information thrown at them that it'll be impossible to get the real information out. So you need someone to decide like what information should be disseminated or anything.
Sure.
In this video game, this group was cast as the villains of the story. and yet I feel like 20 years later, they might've had a point.
Perhaps Solid Snake and Giant Ocelot or whatever the fucking whatever the wackadoodle characters in that game are. They were correct.
But but you say wackadoodle characters, and I do agree, like, there are a lot of insane characters in the Metal Gear universe, but is there a character in the Metal Gear universe more insane than one Rudolph Giuliani?
Impossible. Frankly, I would like to see a game, a Metal Gear Solid game, lampooning all of these characters in the role, like, all of these people in the roles of those characters in the game.
There wouldn't be much of a game though, because if the like organization that you were facing against was as competent as they are in real life. Like, I can't imagine that there'd be much difficulty in advancing past the goal. So,
yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Just put a box on your head and run around. I couldn't believe that. Like, I couldn't believe that his whole point was.
Couldn't you believe it though? Like, isn't it?
That's fair.
Isn't it actually the most obvious outcome to this entire thing that could have possibly happened? That Rudy Giuliani saw a random Facebook post and took it as gospel and then ran it to a courthouse.
Yo, they're gonna run this dude down. They're gonna run this dude into the dirt. I love it. Good. It couldn't happen to a bigger piece of shit, as far as I'm concerned. It really couldn't.
Yeah, like I mean, Vegas should be taking odds if Rudy Giuliani is going to die from some kind of stress-related incident at some point.
I thought he was going to die from this image they have on the Huffington Post. Like, he's having a heart attack, is he not?
He looks like it.
Like, you can't see his hand, but I assume it's clutching his heart, right, through his suit jacket.
Again, once again, has there been a greater fall in the history of human civilization? I don't know if there is.
Not many, dude. Like, from America's mayor to America's buffoon. You know what? Actually, I can think of one. And he's just to the right of this article in one of these little trending articles. It's the second one. I don't know if it's the same on your screen, but it's Bill Cosby. That's a pretty big fall from grace.
It's a pretty big fall from grace, but like...
Yeah, it's pretty big.
More than Giuliani, though.
Yeah, dude, people referred to Bill Cosby as America's dad. Yeah, they did.
But Giuliani was the symbol for like he was the unifying symbol for a damaged country at one of our like most chaotic points.
That's
everyone
fair.
Rallied around fucking Giuliani, and now he's hawking pillows on the internet.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I don't know that anyone's had a more meteoric rise, speaking of pillows, than Mike Lindell. Like,
that's also fair.
I mean, from crack addict all the way to very well-known lunatic conspiracy theorists.
Yeah, and meeting with secretaries of state around the country to gauge their election security. That's a real thing that happened. I think it was the Secretary of State of, I want to say, Arkansas or Alabama.
Fine, whatever.
Met with Mike Lindell.
Yes. You know what's in peril?
Mike Lindell vet their election security systems.
Yeah, you know what's in peril? Republicans losing Arkansas. That's fine. That's fine. It's fine. Alabama. You're fine. Get out of here. Yeah, so Rudy Giuliani, soon to have less than $1 billion in his bank account. Well, they just, are going to wreck
him,
his ass.
Not just him, you know, Sidney Powell, Jenna Ellis, Lynn Wood, like all
fuck them up, dude. Fuck them up. Because what answer do they have? Where did you get this from?
We just made Twitter? It up.
Twitter? Is Parler an acceptable answer? I don't know. Like, what are you going to say? It's wild, dude. Like, your argument is literally, I got my information from an online chain letter. No, go to jail, directly to jail. Like, get out of here. I love it. I love how unbelievably incompetent those fucking assholes are. So I'm not going to spend too much time on this next story. I want to spend more time on the sort of the sub story of this, which is there was a memo released on the 21st of this month, showing the six step plan that, Trump wanted, to happen so that Pence would basically overturn the election, right? Basically, it's the plan that a lot of people thought they were going to do months before the election, which is try to throw it to the states, have the state legislatures, then, you know, it basically throws it back to the states. There's more state legislatures in Republican control. Each of those states get a vote. They'd vote Trump in, and massive riots in this country where we would rip this country down to its bones. But Trump would still be president, so it's fine. That was basically the plan. That is important in a lot of ways. But the thing I think is much more important is what I wrote, why the media has failed tremendously on this, right? Because there's not been a lot of, and it's not like it hasn't been reported in written media, But the problem is when it is not televised in this day and age, then it is not talked about, like arguably, right? Like people don't read. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Well, and not only that, like it's being talked about on the like opinion shows. So like obviously like Matt Al's talking about it, Chris Hayes is talking about it, like folks like that, but it's not being covered on like the like ABC Nightly News.
Right, the hard news.
Or things of that nature. Right. Which it should be.
Yeah. And so I wanted to have a conversation about why this failed tremendously. From my perspective, it failed because it's not, you can't swing it as being bipartisan. Mm-hmm. Right. I think the news has been largely, the refs have been worked so tremendously since like the 1980s. Well, actually from the 70s, really, because Nixon really kind of started that. The news media has been sort of worked so hard to not want to be considered to have a liberal bias that they have to call everything like they don't call anything balls and strikes anymore. They just they be like, well, these guys say this and these other guys say this. Mm-hmm. Good night. You know, instead of actually giving a definitive like this is what's happening. And there's no way to spin this as being a both sides issue without coming off as being incredibly partisan. But the problem is sometimes the truth is partisan and it's just like, dude, these guys were fucking corrupt. It's only the Republican Party. This is not a Democratic Party issue at all. Like there's zero issues here from the Dems. This is all the Republicans. And I think they are terrified to just go after the Republican Party wholesale. Like they're super scared. You're only going to see this, like you said, on the more liberal opinion shows. Like on shows like Democracy Now, which most Americans don't watch or listen to, you should. But you're never going to hear this. You're never going to hear this on like ABC, NBC, CBS type of thing. And I think that's the reason why.
Well, and the reason why it's scary is because, you know, Mike Pence is a piece of shit. But if Mike Pence was a more like toadyish, you know, vice president,
or if Dan Quayle was not around,
yeah,
well, as we learned, what
Dan
the
Quayle
fuck
was not here to save the day.
Jesus Christ!
Then this could have been a thing that happened because if
absolutely
this has never happened before in the history of the country. So if the vice president is like, you know what, these states don't count because of X, Y, and Z. At the very least, you're going to throw things into turmoil, and at the very least you're going to have to get the Supreme Court involved in what's going on. And again, right, who knows with the Supreme Court that we have right now. I'd like to think that John Roberts would not allow them to light a fire to democracy, but who the fuck knows? Like
I wouldn't bank on that. No way. Yeah. There's no way, dude. What was it? Sam Alito got implicated in this shit. This week, Sidney Powell, during one of her like depositions, I don't know, she's being sued all over the fucking place. I don't even remember which one it was. It might have been Dominion. I have no idea. But she was like, well, we were waiting on Sam Alito at the Supreme Court to do it. Like, Sam Alito's like, why the fuck are you mentioning me? I mean, I'm a piece of shit, but like, dude, don't use my name. Like, can you deal with that? Leave Sammy out. But yeah, he's implicated in that too. Let's get real. I'm not saying Sidney Powell is telling the truth. She doesn't really have a history of that. But will we really be surprised if Sam Alito was having conversations with them? I wouldn't be surprised.
Not him. Certainly
no,
not him.
Fuck no. I could totally, well, I was just talking to them about how democracy works. Why are you talking to them about this shit at all? Right? Like that dude is not like above partisanship. Are you kidding me?
Like, cool. Okay. You going to recuse yourself if this gets on to you, if this gets in front of you? Oh no. Well then shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
What are you doing?
Oh, it's not on the docket, but, just quickly. Cause I kind of do want to mention it just briefly. There was 130 judges, 130 federal judges that are, I think the Washington, Wall Street Journal, I think had the article, that 130 Fed judges had ruled on cases that they had financial stake in, like corporate cases. And those cases now could possibly be reopened because of that, those conflict of interest. Look, hey, Biden administration. Hey, if you're listening, and I know that you are, use that as a reason to fire all of them.
Yeah.
Use it as a reason.
I don't think he can.
You can call for them to be removed.
Yeah, they'd have to be impeached. But
yeah, no, you can. But call for them to be removed. Fuck it. Like, look, it doesn't even matter. Like, that doesn't even matter if that's successful. The fact that you're willing to call it out will give people. They'll be like, oh, okay. Biden's playing hardball. That's what they want, man. That's what people want. Just like sometimes doing something, even though you know you can't get it done, can be beneficial. Not all the time, hashtag force the vote, right? Like, yeah. Not bullshit like that. But you can show people that you're playing hardball, right? In this case, you kind of need to do that.
Not to get off on a tangent.
But?
Boy, there is a lot of hubris present at the judicial level. Just all over the place in this country. Yeah. Like, there are way too many fucking judges who think that they are able to set aside inherent biases that they have because of whatever. Because like, they're high on their own fucking supply. But like I said, neither here nor there. But yeah, it's insane, though, that this is not a huge story. I mean, this is, like, very much Nixon-level corruption. Like, the president of the United States was at least tangentially involved, if not directly involved, with trying to advance this story to stay in power, to undermine a federal election, to stay in power. And I think you're onto something when you mention the fact that this can't be spun as bipartisan.
Right.
And I feel like that news organizations, despite the fact that they wield much more power tangibly than politicians do, are afraid to get hit, and especially afraid to get hit from the right.
They're terrified of it.
Well, and like you even look at like take Chuck Todd, for example. Like, Chuck Todd.
To quote Obama, fuck Chuck Todd.
Yeah, I mean, but seriously, fuck Chuck Todd, because Chuck Todd goes out of his way to be quote unquote bipartisan, to the point where he books more Republicans than he books Democrats.
Yep, absolutely.
On his show.
Absolutely.
And I mean, I don't know if it's because Chuck Todd feels some like inherent need to do that because MSNBC is a more liberal leaning channel, so he feels like he needs to balance the scales a little bit on Meet the Press. Tim Russert wouldn't have fucking done that. Like, what the fuck are you doing, you idiot?
That's true. Here's the thing. Tim Russert is from a very different era in politics, though.
True.
Right. Like, look, you know, knock on wood, touch wood, whatever fucking thing you want to say. Like, I miss Tim Russert. I do. I hate that Luke Russert got a career out of his father's death. It's ridiculous. Like, I've gone on this screen before. It makes me fucking, it's maddening. Meghan McCain for the same reason. She was on fucking like Face Peter, the Nation or
Peter Ducey. The list of nepotism in politics news is endless. So.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Meghan McCain was on like Meet the Press this weekend.
Yes.
To say what?
Right.
to say what? Jesus Christ, she's an idiot. Anyway, so
my father.
Yeah,
my father.
Yeah, what are you here for? Well, my father. Yeah, I know. I had the shtick. We get it. We've seen the view before. So my whole thing is like Russert is a hard person to say, well, like he wouldn't have done this. I don't know, because he would have been in this era, which would have been really very different and wild, right? That being said, you're 100% right about Chuck Todd. Chuck Todd sucks. I don't think Chuck Todd's a bad guy. I don't think Chuck Todd is like a stupid guy or anything like that. I bet I'd probably like Chuck Todd to some extent if I ever met him. But Chuck Todd is fucking spineless, and that's the biggest problem. You want somebody who's going to go on what does he run? Meet the Press? Mm-hmm. You want somebody, one, the problem is you can't do Meet the Press with somebody who's going to actually hit them with real questions, because Republicans will never go on it anymore, right? That's what they do, because they're cowards. They're intellectual cowards.
And that's another problem that you're seeing from especially the news organizations that try to be like in the middle as much as they can is they don't press Republicans on bullshit.
Yep.
Because they are afraid that they won't get them as guests if they push them too hard.
Right. Look, again, I mentioned this maybe 2 weeks ago or last week. Republicans don't go on Rachel Maddow. It's not because she doesn't want them to come on and she's like so liberally biased. I remember when she started at MSNBC because I listened to her when she was on Air America. I've been a fan for a fucking long time, showing my age, right? And my obsession with Rachel Maddow. I love her. But I remember when she started at MSNBC. She used to have Republicans on and she would just dunk on them constantly. And they were just like, we're just never coming on here anymore because this feels hurtful to us, right? Because it was like they would go on her show. She would destroy them and then they would have to then go on to other channels for the rest of the week, trying to explain how they got backed into a corner and said something that admitted some fucking bullshit that they were up to. Right. Mm-hmm. Same thing happened with The Daily Show. Remember, The Daily Show used to have liberals and conservatives on all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Jon Stewart had that. And then Jon Stewart just started dunking on them and they were just like, nah, fuck that. We're done. Like, we're done. And they've never gone back. Right. So like, the last people who really did it were like the low level kind of people, sort of like the real wackadoodles in the Republican Party. Like, what's the little blonde, Tommy Lauren. She went, I think she might've been like the last like real conservative person who went on The Daily Show, and Trevor Noah fucking ate her lunch. And she was like, nope, fuck this. We're done. Right. So none of those guys will go on to any liberal leaning stuff. If I had my druthers, I tell you who I would make for Meet the Press. He would be awesome. Mehdi Hasan.
Yeah. Like, automatically, I was right there on the same page.
Dude, he would be just ripping throats out every Sunday.
But then you wouldn't have Meet the Press anymore because then no politicians would go.
I mean, no, they're like, oh, Mehdi Hasan, fuck that.
Because he would hammer Democrats as bad as he hammered Republicans.
But that's what I want. Yeah. I want somebody who's really going to give him the business, right? On both sides, right? Like, don't go easy. Like on Democrats either. Fuck that. Like go hard.
And that's the point though, is that the press, like, people forget this and somehow hold it against them, but they're supposed to be the interrogators. Like they are supposed to hold people's feet to the fires, because if you're a politician and you're making an argument that you believe is the right argument, then you should be able to defend that argument against scrutiny. That's one of the things we talk about all the time, is that ideas are great, but they have to be able to withstand scrutiny to be able to be implemented into plans. And the problem with Republicans is that their plans cannot withhold any scrutiny. So all they can do is go into Fox News, where they're just going to get tossed softballs and they're not actually going to be getting dug into any potential pitfalls. Like maybe Chris Wallace might play devil's advocate, but that's about all you're going to get on Fox News.
Right.
That's going to happen with. And they're in conflict because when you play hardball, you risk losing access. And if you don't have access, have a program.
Yeah. You don't have anything.
At least they see it. Unless everyone was a fucking hardball, and then they'd have to go somewhere. You know what I mean?
Like, but they're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Then, right. Because you always have a Fox News. You always have an OAN. You always have a Newsmax that will.
But take OAN and Newsmax out of the equation, because those two don't have the reach that's necessary. Like, you can go on OAN and Newsmax, but I don't think that you're going to achieve what you want to achieve. You can achieve it on Fox because Fox has the reach.
Right. But if everybody is playing hardball, if you send all of your people there, you grow those channels, right? Like, that's just, I mean,
maybe you do, maybe you don't. Like this is the, and not that.
Look,
not
if
that,
I don't ever have to see a Republican on television again, that's also fine, by the way. I don't have a way in our news.
I'm just saying, like this might be a bad comparison, and I'm not lumping Joe Rogan into the OAN and Newsmax portion of the world, even though you probably kind of could.
They're all pushing ivermectin, man. It's fine.
But like, when Spotify signed him to like that fucking God contract, they assumed that he would basically bring his entire audience with him. And he brought over like 40% over to Spotify.
Oof. Is that true?
Yeah. Well, so they haven't released, they won't release numbers, but I can't remember what publication did like an analysis based on, I can't remember if it was like they looked at some metric and was able to determine that less than half of his audience migrated over to Spotify with him, essentially.
Wow.
And you can listen to it for free.
Yeah.
Right? Like
you can.
Yes. Yeah, you just have like commercials or whatever.
You,
but like
you just have to use Spotify. And Spotify is the most popular music app in the world. And they still couldn't get an appreciable a majority of Joe Rogan's listeners to fucking use it. That's what. But that's that. My point is that I don't think that even if you went to OAN and Newsmax, that all of a sudden they would become like the Fox News, because I don't think enough insane people, like the insane people, are going to find them. But I don't think enough normal people Fox News would seek them out. So.
Yeah. You're right. You're actually right about that, because that sort of like Waldorf garden kind of thing can do damage to you. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, Joe Rogan doesn't care, because Joe Rogan got like $400 million.
Getting paid anyway.
He's like, oh, really? They didn't come? Dude, I don't even look at the stats. I look at the checks. I don't give a shit.
Politicians would care, though, because the way that you can get people to support your agenda is by getting the message out there in front of them. And if you don't have that megaphone, then it's going to be a lot harder to get, you know, the support behind you that you need.
Yeah. No, I hear you. No, you're absolutely right about that. Yeah. No, I'll concede that point. I think that's a very good point. Look, I think the media's failure here is a big deal. And I think it's actually there was a guy, I forget his name. It's like a bald sort of, heavyset dude. He had a whole thing about this, right?
It was Brian, what's his fucking last name? Like Brian Setzer or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I can't remember his name, but I like him. And anytime I see him on like clips of him, I think he's pretty good. But he had a whole thing about that, right? I mean, he was like, well, you know, CNN's reporting this. I was like, relax. Like, you're reporting this. Like, not all of CNN. Fucking relax. You're on somehow the worst of the three channels, because your channel is trying to be in the middle when. Yeah. There is no middle anymore.
like your channel employed Rick Santorum for like a while to get,
dude, like a decade. Yeah. Like a decade. Are Native Americans really people? Like, what the fuck, Rick? Come on, man. God damn. Yeah, you gotta leave now. All right. After your fifth racist comment this month.
Like Kayla McEnany literally became the White House press secretary because of the bullshit that she spewed on your airwaves.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't give CNN too much credit, dude. I don't hate CNN. I don't hate CNN. I'm not like a Trump supporter, but like I get when they're just like, fuck CNN. I'm like, it's not the worst point they've ever made. Like but for different reasons. I just think they're too mealy mouthed. Like, dude, you know, this is not right. Like the best thing coming out of CNN, as far as I'm concerned, is Jim Acosta. Like, that's it. And that dude has every right to be on like a hardcore, like liberal channel like MSNBC, because like, just fuck, you know, Jim Acosta actually should go to Democracy Now, because he don't give a fuck. Dude's going to ask some real questions.
Jim Acosta can stay for CNN, but just give him his own show. Tapper started as the White House correspondent.
That's true.
So
I like Jim Acosta, man. Like, yeah. Dude was arguing with Trump on day one. Respect that man. Day one, he got into an argument with the president. He was like, yo, go fuck yourself. It's like, all right, it's great. I do think the media has a significant part to play here. And I think they deserve all the ire that they get about this. Like, I mean, there's plenty of things that the media is not guilty of that, like, the right wing likes to promote. You know, the enemy of the people and all that other horse shit, Nazi era nonsense. But like, in this way, you have to not be afraid to call balls and strikes. Like, dude, sometimes the truth is partisan. Like, it
they
is.
But they can't even protect their own house. Much what less. Do you mean? Like, do you? So I remember, and this is a pretty famous anecdote during the Obama presidency. They pulled credentials from Fox for an event because of how insane like Fox's reporting was on something. And so they pulled credentials for them, and the entire press pool was like,
no,
fuck that. Like we're going to boycott the event if you don't credential them. Cause even though you might not agree with them, and some of us probably agree they're batshit, like, you can't just revoke access. And then later on, the Trump administration revokes it from Jim Acosta, and everyone's still like, yeah, we'll go. We'll still go. We don't like it, but we'll go. We're going to issue a strongly worded statement from the White House Press Corps Association.
No, but see, the problem Right. I agree. That was a shitty thing.
Yeah.
But that is so fucking emblematic of the press treatment of Republicans versus Democrats.
Yeah.
They will stand up to them. Oh, this is unacceptable. We won't do this. And Democrats go, all right. You made your point. We got you. We hear you. All right. Well, let's get it all back together. All right, cool.
That's because Democrats will generally still give the press the respect that they're due, essentially. Right. Whereas Republicans treat them as an adversarial. Well, and they are an adversarial component, but Republicans, like you said, treat them as a legitimate enemy. Like, they almost treat them as part of the Democratic Party that they're fighting against, essentially.
Isn't it Lugan Presser? I mean, it's right
in
there.
In the original German.
Nine. So that's all the German I know. Guten Tag. Yes, thank you. Matthias is like, this is the worst pronunciation I've ever heard. We're sorry. Sorry, not sorry. But, like, look, it's you know, this whole idea of, like, the press being the enemy of the people and, like, that promoting it and then watching, I had, like, until you had mentioned it again, I had forgotten about that CNN thing. It's like, well, you know, all right, we're just going to revoke Jim Acosta thing. And the press is like, it's fine. I mean, whatever. I mean, that guy sucks, right? Like, it just goes to show you that they have this ability. They actually have a real ability to fight back. Mm-hmm. But they're so fucking scared to piss off the right wing. They're so, oh, we don't want to say anything. Oh, we don't want to say anything. Why? I'd be like, hey, that's cool. You took Acosta's credentials. None of us are going. But the problem is, and this is the thing I think the press does know about the right wing that I think we're not giving the right wing, or we're not giving the press enough credit for, which is, they know that if they were like, we're not going to cover your shit, the right wing is like, great. Right? Because the problem is the Democrats are like, we need that press. We need to have that fourth estate relationship. Like you said, they give the press the respect that they're due. Like, not always, right? I'm not pretending like, oh, like, the Obama administration didn't go after, like, you know, like the press
there's an example of Joe Manchin today treading into some really fucking waters.
So. Was it the, like, you need to change the subject type of shit? Yeah, dude. Fuck right off.
Pressing him about his family members' involvement, things he's legislating on that his family members involved.
Yeah,
he's like, I think you should change the subject. And just like,
I have a second question. That question again, go fuck yourself. What are you going to do to me?
Yeah.
Like, remember when that, like, right-wing guy, like, picked up and, like, slammed a reporter? I'd be like, yo.
Yeah, and then got elected governor?
Yes.
Of Montana?
Right. I'd be like, yo. Like, if I was in the press, I'd be like, yo, we could just jump this dude. like, what are we doing, yo? Like, why are y'all scared of them? No, yo, I would fight a potential governor. Yo, don't put your hands up. like it would be the first guy in the press to beat the bricks off of a guy running for a governor. It is what it is. Don't touch me. Like, no, just start lifting, guys. What are you doing? Like just a bunch of swole press guys. Just like, yeah, we got a couple of questions for you. Like, all right, I'll answer them. But no, I think I getting back to the big point here, they could be strong, and when they are at their strongest. Is always with people who largely agree with them.
Yeah.
Right? And this is the problem.
Well, it you have to go into it with a mentality that you have nothing to lose. Even though you do, like, you can't approach it from that aspect. Like, you have to go in and be the same person you were, even if it cost you in the short term. And it might. Like, there certainly might be some people who you don't get access to or who don't want to talk to anymore. And that might be damaging to you in the short term. But in the long term, the more of the press that actually grows a fucking spine and reports on things accurately, the better off we'll be in the long run. Because if you don't report things accurately, then you're not holding the politicians' feet to the fire in the same way. And it doesn't, and then you'll have the same people there all the time, because a lot of times it's the exposition of these things which sways public opinion against folks.
Right.
And gets them voted out. So
yeah, I agree with you. Do something. Yes. Like, I know, right? Like,
or just your job. Like, you don't even just do the thing you're supposed to be doing anyway.
Yeah. Speaking of doing things you're definitely supposed to do, this next story, thank you. This doesn't bother me at all. I just think it's crazy. Vigilante treatments. Anti-vaccine groups push people to remove, push people to leave ICUs. Oof, this is a doozy. Anti-vaccine Facebook groups have a new message for their community members. Quote, don't go to emergency rooms and get your loved ones out of intensive care units. Consumed by conspiracy theories claiming that doctors are preventing unvaccinated patients from receiving miracle cures or are even killing them on purpose. Gotta love that one. Some people in anti-vaccine and pro-ivermectin Facebook groups. You can imagine being in a group that is just a pro-ivermectin group. That's crazy. Horse paste or us.
I mean, those people probably eat paste made from horses anyway in general. So eating actual paste for horses is probably not too far of a stretch.
Just fucking Elmer's. Like, Elmer's glue. I don't know. It's just delicious. Pro-ivermectin groups, a.k.a. farmersonly.com, are telling those with COVID-19 to stay away from hospitals and instead try increasingly dangerous at-home treatments, according to a post seen by NBC News over the past few weeks. I love this. I love it.
Yeah. No, if you mad. Decide that about it.
Look, this solves two problems. Clogging up hospitals with a bunch of people who are anti-vaxxers, who didn't believe in medicine or doctors or nurses. They thought they were all bullshit until their tummy started hurting. Clears those people up. So ICUs can be used for people who have breakthrough cases, who actually need help, who actually believed in this shit, and just regular, you know, ICU needs. And the second thing is, we have less of these lunatics around because you're going to die. Okay. Like, you're aware of this. You're going to fucking die. If you go home and if you take a loved one out of the ICU who's on a vent or who's about to get put on a vent and you give them ivermectin, the chances of them die. Now, granted, some people go on a vent and then they survive, right? Like, mm-hmm. But it ain't high anymore, dude. That rate is like pretty low.
Well, and again, even if you live, like, what do you have after the fact?
Right. I mean, I read a report or one of these like Herman Cain award things. Again, I read them every night before I go to bed. But
great bedtime reading.
No, dude, it just makes me feel better about myself. Like, well, I am a smart person. It's all up here. This lady was like, oh, Joey, my husband, they said his oxygen level was at 50%.
50?
Right, dude, this dude's barely hanging on. I tried to give him ivermectin. What are you doing? Get this man on a vent. And he died. He died. Because you decided that you thought it was really cool to not wear a mask in Texas. Well, it is what it is. And that's sad. Like, I mean, it's sad that that person died and he was like 39. Like, he was super young. So look, you want to call this vigilante treatment? All right. Like, this doesn't hurt anyone but you. Like, I just can't imagine, like, oh, yeah, no, your like husband I'd needs to be on a ventilator. No, don't worry about it.
I'd be more upset if it was affecting folks who don't deserve this kind of thing. But again, if you're dumb enough to listen to this advice, if you're in the hospital because of COVID receiving treatment and you're stupid enough to go on a Facebook group and they're like, leave the hospital. And you're like, yep. Enjoy reaping.
Well, it's more like, yep. Like, that's what it's like. Like, yeah. Let's get real. Like, you're going to die. If you need to be on a vent, and you're leaving the hospital to take some home remedy, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Like, look, if you are in the hospital and you're not quite on a vent and they're like, hey, I think we're going to put you on a ventilator to try to save your life. It's really fucking scary. I wish you had taken the vaccine, but like, for real, we don't know if you're going to make it, but there is a 30% chance that you might make it, or like a 50% chance you might make it. Go home with your fucking spouse who's like, I don't know, I picked up some shit at Farmers, you know, the tractor supply. I thought that would work out. Don't go home with that person. Stay home. Stay at the hospital.
I'm amused that Facebook seems to really want Republicans to be in charge of things. And again, a classic case of not seeing the forest from trees, because they're just looking at it from a financial point of view.
That's right.
If Republicans are able to somehow repeal, like, the protections that Facebook has from being responsible for the contents of the other platform, like, disaster. In theory, if anyone fucking dies from this, Facebook could be charged with attempted murder if those protections weren't in place.
That is correct. And by the way,
for allowing those views to be published on their website.
Yeah. And by the way, you know who's really smart? Google. They were like, hey, guess what? YouTube banning all anti-vax.
Yes, but as someone in the fan group mentioned, the ultimate case of fucking closing the barn door after the horse.
Oh, no, of course. No, they should have done it a long time ago. No, but that's to protect their ass.
It is.
There's so many people dying because of all of this, like, ivermectin bullshit and everything else. No, they're like, nah, fuck that. Nope. Somebody wrote an anti-vax thing as a comment on one of our videos for Black and Black Cinema. Facebook or YouTube was like, nah. Gone. Like, deleted immediately. Because I went to respond and was like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And Facebook was like, or YouTube was like, yeah, we got it. Don't even worry about it. We got this one, Jay. It's not a big deal. I'm not particularly surprised. It feels right to me. So I'm glad they're doing it. But look, these people want to pull their husbands and their wives and their hopefully not their children out of these hospitals. Whatever. Also, you want to take ivermectin, which is causing 85% of you to be sterile. Again, these are not things I'm going to get in the way of you doing. That's freedom.
Yeah, I'm definitely for 85% of these people not being able to procreate.
No, I'm not. I wish the number was higher. I wish it was 100%. Like, look, it's fine. You don't need to have kids. You don't. Please. Actually, don't. Just don't. 85% of you will never be able to have kids thanks to this horse pace. And the last 15% of you, please don't. Just don't. Like,
for their sake, honestly. Yeah.
For everybody's sake. the whole fucking lot of us. All 350 million of us. We could use your help. Here's a really weird story where I'm going to defend a person who I think is a piece of shit. The CIA apparently was planning on kidnapping and assassinating Julian Assange from WikiLeaks. Just right up front, I think Julian Assange is a piece of shit. Like, yeah. I really do. I don't think he is some, like, arbiter of truth. I think he is an arbiter of what he determines is truth that he wants to tell. I put Julian Assange in the same book as I put Glenn Greenwald. I think they pretend to be.
Oh, really? Because I think Glenn Greenwald is just a secret closet fascist, honestly. I don't know if Julian Assange is a closet fascist. I think he just thinks he's the smartest person in the world, essentially.
I don't disagree with your point about Glenn Greenwald, and I still stick to exactly what I said about Glenn Greenwald. Like, I think they both are like that. I think that Julian Assange is 100% gunning to destroy the American empire, which I get it, right? Like, I get, like, oh, America's done a lot of terrible things around the world. I get that, right? I don't agree with it necessarily, but I get it. But he would love to see this country being a smoldering heap. Like, he doesn't give a shit about anybody in it. He doesn't care about anything. Like, he's not for freedom of the American people from, like, a tyrannical government. Like, he's not. He would be happy if America got nuked tomorrow. Like, he wouldn't give a shit. And I think he would just be fine with having another group take its place. He just hates America, right? Like, and look, I'm not saying that in that weird, like, this guy hates America, like, but it's the greatest country in the world. No, I'm not on some, like, crazy patriotism thing. I just think that is his motivation, is fuck America. So however I can fuck them over is perfectly fine with me. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's his. So I think he's kind of like a proto-fascist in that way. No, I think Glenn Greenwald, I think you're 100% right. I think but he also has that same thing of like, if America was a smoldering heap tomorrow, he wouldn't give a shit. Like he would celebrate it. Like, he pretends to care about, like, I saw a tweet from him today where he was like pretending to care about like Black and Latino voters. I was like, fuck off. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't. You don't. Like, stop. You don't. And I almost responded, because he will respond to you. But I was like, do I feel like just going in a back and forth with Glenn Greenwald? No. That guy's a dick. So all of that being said, in 2017, as Julian Assange began his fifth year holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, the CIA plotted to kidnap the WikiLeaks founder and fucking murder him. I'm not okay with that.
Like, truly, no good deed goes unpunished, huh, Julian Assange?
Yeah, you helped your boy get in, and they were like, "Let's murder that motherfucker." Like, I said this very, very early during the race of 2016. Yeah. Which, like, you can find episodes. I said, if Trump gets in, I would not be surprised if they try to kill Julian Assange. Yeah, of course. Because he knows where the bodies are fucking buried in this.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they had Russian information, or excuse me, they had information from both Democrats and Republicans, and they chose to fucking promote the Democratic-only shit. Right? They knew exactly what they were doing. They were not giving an even-handed, like, look how shitty American politics is. No, it was not even-handed at all. He had an agenda, which to me is not the sign of someone who is supposed to be an arbiter of truth.
Right.
Like, that's bullshit.
Which we talked about a lot at the time. I do remember talking about that constantly. So
yeah. And people are like, you know, I don't think people really picked up on it. I'm like, dude, he will try to kill this guy because you are a liability, dude. Hey, thanks for the information. You got to fucking go. Like, so, and if you remember, this article doesn't really point it out, but the Trump administration was pushing hard, hard to get that extradition for Assange to come to the U.S. And people are like, oh, they should extradite him. And I'm like, no, they shouldn't, because he's going to get he's going to get Epstein'd, dude. Like, he would not last a month here.
No. Either that or in Guantanamo, one of the two.
Oh, so. Yeah, dude, they throw his ass in the fucking ocean. Like, oops, he tripped and fell in. Sorry, our bad. So, yeah, this article basically lays out that some senior officials inside the CIA and the Trump administration even discussed killing Assange, going so far as to request sketches and options for how to assassinate him. Discussions over kidnapping or killing Assange occurred at the highest levels of the Trump administration, said the former senior counterintelligence official. There seemed to be no boundaries, he says, or they say. The conversation were a part of an unprecedented CIA campaign directed against WikiLeaks and its founders. The agency's multi-pronged plans also included extensive spying on WikiLeaks associates, sowing discord among the group's members, and stealing their electronic devices. It even goes on to say that they had audio and visual surveillance on the WikiLeaks people, including Assange, but all of their like major players all around the world. Mike Pompeo basically was like, look, the WikiLeaks had published what was called Vault 7, which were like some really elite CIA hacking tools, which were really kind of amazing. If you read up on that, it's baffling the shit the CIA was capable of doing. But when they released that, which was the largest leak in CIA history, the CIA was like, oh, that's cool. We're going to murder that guy. Fuck him. Like, not just Pompeo, but like a bunch of people inside the CIA were just like, no, we got to kill him. Like, it's cool. Like, yeah, he got us, but like, we got to get him tomorrow. So look, I'm color me unsurprised, color me unsurprised. And again, I don't like Julian Assange. I think that Julian Assange is an asshole, but I don't think it's cool to try to murder that guy. Just cause I think he should be possibly extradited, possibly. Now that it's not the Trump administration, I'm more open to it, but he should be possibly extradited and he should serve time. I don't think that he should. I don't think that he should be killed, but I think he should serve time.
Pretty bad look if you like. That's like some fucking Putin shit. Like if you just fucking murk somebody for putting shit out there that you don't like, essentially.
Yeah, And that's what these dudes are. They're just kill him.
Kind of undermines the whole freedom of the press ethos. You know what I mean? If you're just gonna fucking assassinate someone for publishing, you know, leaked documents.
As many an article said in the run up to 2016, Hillary the Hawk, Donald the Dove. Remember that shit?
I do.
You think Hillary Clinton would have fucking just killed this guy?
Well,
she's killed a lot of people, obviously.
Well, so this article lays most of the blame on Pompeo, and I'm more willing to believe that. I don't honestly know if Trump would have had much to do with that. I don't even think they would have really had to go through him. The CIA is not like they need, you know, presidential authority for wet works.
I mean, no, but I feel like Trump would be fine with this.
I don't think he would care either way, because again, he has no loyalty to anybody. Like, he just uses and throws away people as necessary.
Sure. That's
like,
true.
Like for him, Assange was a means to an end, like, and got him into the White House. And after that, who gives a fuck?
Fair enough. Yeah.
So, right. Yeah.
You're right. So yeah, it's an interesting sort of thing, but, look, again, Julian Assange is a dickhead. But he doesn't deserve that. One thing that I think people don't talk about enough, by the way, before we move on to the next story, about Julian Assange. Mm-hmm. Julian Assange is a liar. And I don't mean that in all the things that I mentioned. Those are true. But Julian Assange is a liar for one big reason. Remember when he used to say that if he went missing for 24 hours, he had all this information that would automatically be posted online?
Mm-hmm.
None of that happened. He's a liar. He's a bluff. It was a bluff, right? Oh, you can't pull me off of this thing. If I don't report into this device, then it's going to be pandemonium. And No, it wasn't. You're like the worst cartoon criminal in that way. Like,
yeah,
you better look like a shitty James Bond villain. You know, it's like, oh, if I'm taken into custody, the whole island of, you know, of Australia will explode. Yeah, no,
he's more like the Billy Madison bus driver of fucking like cyber criminals. Like, if you take me away to prison, you know, all this shit's going to go all over the internet. No, it's not. Well, you know, no, maybe not, but you can imagine, you know, if it did.
Like, you can imagine what it'd be cool. Like if it did, right? My friend, like, me and Veronica Vaughn got it on. No, you didn't. A buddy of mine, no, he didn't. But you can imagine what it'd be like if I did. Right.
Glenn Greenwald will leak all the information out. No, he won't.
No, he won't. No, he won't. That is a nice ish, which is what Brad would say to this next story about his homegirl, Lauren Boebert.
I feel like you put this on the docket just to attack me. Wait, are we behind the paywall? We are. I feel like you put this on the docket just to attack me.
That is 100% why I put it on the docket. Well, no, that's not fair. That's not fair. I put it on the docket to attack both of you. Not just you, Brad.
Did Andy put you up with this because his girl is fucking up left and right all over the place?
Dude,
I noticed conveniently, ever since like Kirsten Sinema, aka Sexy Joe Manson, lost her fucking mind that Andy hasn't been on the show.
Oh, busy, got him on the house. Can't do it.
Not have to face the consequences that his boo thang is fucking up all over the place in the Senate.
It's true. It's true. He has been missing. That's true. That is. Ugh. I mean, between his. I mean, let's get real. Andy has two girls, right? I mean, he'll deny the second one, but he has made many a comment about how much he loves her caveman like orbital shelf that is Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I wouldn't even put that evil on him. I think
no.
I
fuck him. He hasn't been here.
Like that's a step too far.
No, he hasn't been here. You like Neanderthals. It's fine. it's cool. Don't worry about it. Yeah, but Brad's girl, a.k.a. I Can Change Her, Lauren Boebert, she decided to pay her rent and utilities with campaign funds, according to an FEC filing. She put it in the FEC filing because she's not even smart enough to cover up her crimes.
Doesn't she own like a chain of restaurants? Like, how doesn't she have money to pay her rent?
Yeah, like Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, apparently this story like disappeared because it was on the Denver Post.
Oh, I still got it. It's still here. It's in front of me right now.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically she had to reimburse her campaign for about $6,600 for rent payments. Oh, no. This even better. Even fucking better. The rent payments were for her restaurant.
Yeah, they were. That's right. Exactly. Sorry. Oh, okay. Now it's showing up. All right. Thank you, incognito mode. I appreciate it. Yeah, the filing submitted by the FEC on Tuesday also indicate that Boebert reimbursed her campaign for $6,650 worth of payments. Each of the four payments were amended to show payments for the same amount, description, and on the same day to John Pacheco, whose address is the same as the Shooter's Grill in Rifle, which is her restaurant, which Boebert owns. Their relationship is not immediately clear. Yeah. No, this is rent for the building, right? Like, that's clearly what this is.
Yeah.
There's no argument that she didn't know she couldn't do this.
Probably not.
Legitimate argument. She will make an argument, but there's no legitimate one.
No, I mean, I can't imagine why you think it would be acceptable, considering how many people, especially in recent history, who have been busted for using campaign funds for personal bullshit. Hello, Duncan Hunter.
and wife.
Yeah, that you would think that this is acceptable in any way, shape, or form.
Wait, didn't they get pardoned by Trump?
They did.
Fucking assholes. God damn it.
That was after Duncan Hunter threw his wife under the bus.
He was like...
Yeah. He fucking sucks.
You know, that dude was like, we're getting a divorce. No shit. No shit, dude. God damn.
No, this is incredibly stupid, though. And what happens when you get people into office who just have zero respect for the institutions that they're a part of, essentially.
Yeah. You still riding with the I can change her attitude there, sir?
She cute. What can I say? I'm sorry.
All right.
I don't know if you got to see the latest Nikki Haley news. They got Trump a couple weeks ago for a comment about Nikki Haley. It's like, and he mentioned something about, oh, it's really funny. He's like, she says something, and then I say something, and then she says something different a couple minutes later. And that sounds a lot more like what I'm saying. So he's like, it's kind of weird how that works. So I don't know. I don't know if Nikki Haley VP 24, I don't know if the Trump Haley ticket is going to be taken off anytime soon.
No, I don't think so. I couldn't see that. Did you hear the latest news? On Republican sexual shenanigans.
No, I did not.
Corey Lewandowski and Kristi Noem.
Yeah. I did hear this.
All right now.
Not to mention apparently Kristi Noem, there might be some political horse trading going on because apparently she was working with someone involved with her daughter's business investment. Her daughter that the South Dakota AG is now looking into, which is super fun.
I love that. Yeah, she was like bullying state employees. I saw. Yeah. Look, Kristi Noem denies allegations of affair with Corey Lewandowski, saying, "quote total garbage." It is Wednesday, the 29th of September, as we're recording this, as the crow flies. I never understand what that fucking term. It's such a country term. By Friday, there will be definitive information that they were fucking 100% by Friday. Yeah. Somebody's like, "Oh, y'all weren't fucking? Here's your Pornhub account." Like, it'll be something crazy definitive by Friday.
Here's my question.
Monday at the latest.
Allegedly, like Kristi Noem, also an attractive woman, even though she's a fucking psychopath, I'm sure, because she's a Republican governor.
Kristi Noem.
And Hope Hicks is attractive in that Ivanka Trump kind of sort of way.
I told you my wife saw a picture of her and she was like, "Oh, she's a really good looking 50-year-old woman." I was like, "She's 28 years old."
Allegedly, Corey Lewandowski having an affair with both women
at one point
in time. Yeah, you didn't know about the Hope Hicks thing? That was several months ago.
Oh, damn, Corey Lewandowski, political coxman.
Is the Republican Party really so devoid of attractive men that Corey Lewandowski is like a 9 in the Republican
Party? Dude, if I had I known this in my 20s, I'd have been like, yeah, I'm a Republican. Like, I'm knocking them down. I'm out there like Corey Lewandowski. This is easy. It was easy pickings. No, that's crazy. Corey Lewandowski?
Yeah.
Wow. Hope Hicks and Christy Noem.
Yeah, like okay. if I was single, like you'd have to, like, I'd have to think long and hard about getting in on a Republican grift just to hook up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So look, Corey Lewandowski is like
I have told the story of going out with a Republican woman once. Just saying. It was interesting. She did vote for Obama though.
I'm sure it was interesting. It's probably a fascinating date.
Date.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more like let's just get right to down to business. I was like, all right, well, I mean, I didn't really want to pay for dinner either. You're right. Let's go get a beer. All right, that was dinner. Cool. All right, let's get out of here. Wow, you guys really move fast for Christians. It's weird, but okay.
I feel like there's a lot of repressed energy going on there.
I can't remember what movie it was. They were talking about like, oh, you like, yeah, you conservative chicks, right? Like, they're like crazy, like nails down your back type of stuff. And they were like, I mean, that's kind of true. It's like, yeah, like a lot of repression, right? They're like, oh, yeah, kind of. So, yeah, Lauren Boebert just stealing money to pay rent at the Shooter McGavin grill over there in Rifle. You know, she has a place called Shooters in Rifle. Wow. White people love guns.
No, it's white Republicans love guns. I very much dislike guns.
Okay, that's fair. But as you do on this show, we lump all of you people together because that's fun.
We are a monolith.
And by the way, when I say as you do, I mean as I do because I enjoy it. It's one of my hobbies. Next up, yo, this is hilarious. Cyber Ninjas, the bullshit organization who was recounting votes in Arizona, they had been doing this what feels like for a year at this point.
It literally almost has been. Like, didn't they start it back in March?
Yeah, dude, it's been like...
Like, how long does it take to recount fucking votes?
It takes a long time when you probably are counting them over and over again because you hate the results. And so you come to the point where you're like, ah, fuck.
See, that's what I want. Now I really want to believe that. Like, and I want to believe that every time, like, they just found a few more votes for Biden and a few less votes for Trump, they're just like, fuck, we're doing it wrong again.
Do it over. Come on, Cyber Ninja, let's go. So, folks over at Cyber Ninja, they've been doing this ridiculous recount that made no sense from the jump in Arizona. And it turns out through their chicanery that not only did Donald Trump lose, but the count was wrong. And they were right. The count was wrong. Joe Biden actually won by an additional 360 votes. Oops. The company was scheduled to publicly present its report to the GOP-controlled state Senate, who authorized the effort, clown shoes, this past Friday. A draft of the company's final report was shared with NBC by the county ahead of that unveiling, though experts say that the inexperienced contractor's process should cast significant doubt on the endeavor. Now that, I think, is fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Because if it was that Trump won by 10,000 votes or whatever, it would have been, this is absolutely legitimate. These young contractors kicked ass. They're like, fucking ninjas. But instead, it was like, no, these fucking ninjas are idiots and you shouldn't trust it because it proved you guys right.
Well, not only that, give me the ability to have the chutzpah of Republicans in the wake of this report, because they're basically just taking the findings that were reported and just saying the opposite thing. Like Donald Trump.
Oh yeah. Donald Trump in front of a rally
this weekend was just like, look, the findings prove that I won. And I'm like, literally the opposite, but okay.
No, it's people are just like, Simon and Just, they were right. Why would you lie? You can just Google it. Like, and not even like a deep Google, like you got to work to get the answers for the LSAT, yeah, right?
Literally all you have to do is type in cyber ninjas, and it's probably the first search result.
Yeah. But I guess they'd be like, NBC's lying. Why would they lie? Dude, like, they got the report. Like, they got it.
Yeah.
So
among others, because the report's been released at this point.
Yeah, but there apparently is a report, a fake report coming out that is making the rounds in the QAnon circles that say that Joe Biden won. So thus further painting it as being like he said, she said type of thing.
So, but what I'm learning is that, you know, 6 months and $3.6 million spent mm-hmm. on this endeavor, just a colossal waste of time.
That is correct.
Arizona taxpayers, I'm sure, super happy to be a foot in the bill on that one. Hopefully they remember that come election time in a couple of years.
You would hope. You would hope.
One would think, but, you know.
I don't get it. Like, I don't get it, but here's the thing I do understand. This isn't about this election. This is to cast out.
Of course.
This is to cast out on the next.
But here's the issue. So you are it's like we talked about in advance of the Georgia special election. So Republicans are running this playbook of you can't trust the elections. And when they ran the same playbook when they were, you know, in the wake of the results saying, oh, this is bullshit, you can't trust it, it depressed Republican turnout in a special election that they absolutely needed to win. And they got swept by Democrats, which flipped control of the Senate. So you're running the same play of, oh, you can't trust the elections. Now, they're being smarter about it and that they're trying to get Trump loyal secretaries of state in a lot of these decisive states, which could cause major fucking problems
down
the road. But it also doesn't solve the problem of these elections are bullshit. You shouldn't. And because, again, you're going to be like, well, this bullshit, I'm not going to vote. Because the average news watcher is not tuned in enough to understand, like, oh, well, they got this guy installed as Secretary of State, so surely he will fix the problems. All they hear is the election's rigged, it's fucked up, like Democrats are putting their thumb on the scale. And so if you feel that that's the case, then you just won't participate. Which,
okay.
Fine. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sort of the gut versus reality, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if 2022 is going to feel like a depressed, like for Republicans is going to like the depressed voting is going to happen. I honestly mm-hmm. don't know. What I do know is this is not going to work out well for them. Ultimately, because what you're hoping is that you energize Republicans because they feel like they're being, things are being stolen from them, right? Like I get that. Like I can understand that mentality. However, you're also energizing Democrats who go, this is horseshit and you're lying.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, oh, you don't think we could win? Well, watch us do it again so that you know that this is real, right? It's a double-edged sword that they're playing with. And if they lose or they don't win as big in 2022, they're going to be in a world of trouble in 2024 because at that point, Republicans likely will be very depressed.
And honestly, I'm more concerned about 2024 because the secretaries of state will have a lot more impact on the presidential election in 2024. They don't have as much impact in congressional elections because there is no electoral college in congressional
elections. That's true. That's very true.
So I'm much more concerned about 2024 than I am about 2022. The thing that fucking sucks from the 2022 standpoint is that these guys are going to try to just make it more difficult to vote and work in conjunction with Republican legislatures in their state to restrict voting access.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Like, I mean, all of those things are going to have impact this time, you know, 2022 and beyond in every race. But yeah, I think it's a delicate game they're playing, man. It's a delicate game. And also you have to couple that with the amount of people that they're losing, just sheerly dying.
Well, and the worst thing that they could do, and they're not going to avoid doing this, but the worst thing that they could do is, again, put Trump on the ballot in 2022, because all you're doing when you do that is you're energizing Democrats to come out and vote against you. He, of course, won't be able to help himself, and they have no identity outside of him as a party. So
that is the Democrats' best hope for 2022 and 2024, is that, like, look. Yo, Republicans are like, oh, if Trump's going to be on the ballot, we're going to be energized. Like, yo, you think people who got out from under this shit are going to just sit back and let this guy win again? Mm-hmm. Look, you can hate Joe Biden all you want. Nobody wants Trump again, dude. Nobody on the left. No one does. No one does. Except for, like, psychos, right? They will come out in droves. They will. They will. And it's like, they're, you know, I know that they think that they won solely because of COVID. That's not why they won. That's or they think Democrats won solely because of COVID. That's not it. It made it easier for people to just be safe. Mm-hmm. But you can bet on it, dude. Like, all of those states, like Georgia, you couldn't just fucking do your ballot at home. People stood in line, right?
For hours,
just like they always do. Mm-hmm. And people were like, absolutely not. Not this guy again. And I mean this to be as mean as possible, but it's also true. Trump is going to seem insane by 2024 because he was already crazy by 2020. Four more years of being just living in this stew of conspiracy theories and shit. He's going to seem nuts. He's going to seem nuts. So whether it's Biden running against him or Harris running against him, I don't think it's going to be an easy race. I'm not that arrogant to believe that, but I think that people are going to be energized to get this guy the fuck out of here. Like, because if he loses, then that's it. He's too fucking old. Like, he's done. Like, it is over. When's he going to run again? 4 years from then? Fuck no.
If he's still breathing
by 2024, let's get real. Right. We don't know what the long-term effects of his severe case of COVID was.
Or just the fact, the long-term offense of being a fucking fat, out-of-shape piece of shit who doesn't exercise.
Well, you don't want to run down your
battery. Who lives off a steady diet of Diet Coke and Big Macs.
Well, he takes some of the bread off, Brett. I mean,
that's true.
I mean, he's practically Jack LaLanne at that point.
Yeah, come on. Breaking news, Jay. The Senate has reached a deal to avoid a government shutdown. They've kicked the can down the road.
No, boo. I thought I had a day off.
Until December. No. Yes. This did not do anything about the debt ceiling fight. So you might still.
Oh, this is just the continuing resolution?
This is just the continuing resolution.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. So. All right. So you're saying there's a chance. That I'm going to have to use PTO, which sucks. Yeah, people forget, like, the government was closed for like a month or two under the Trump administration. People forget about that.
They do.
Yeah. People were just like,
God, it really was. And oh my God.
It was like a month or two. It was a long time, man. It was a long
time. Say what you will about Chuck Schumer. The man knows how to play for a camera. I will never forget Chuck Schumer goading Donald Trump live on a TV camera into basically accepting responsibility for the government shutdown, and like Chuck Schumer turning around the camera and was like, get a load of this fucking guy. I can't believe he said that.
This is a Trump shutdown. Okay, dude. You got it, bro. Like, no problem. Yeah.
So you heard this like this very loud smack, which was the collective hands of all the people in the Oval Office for the Republicans going against their head.
Please stop saying that. Yeah. Guy's an idiot. Cyber Ninjas, man. Like, good going, guys. Glad we wasted like a couple of million dollars paying you. Brad, this is a sad story. And
is it?
Brad, look. We're professionals, and laughing is unacceptable, Brad. Brad, could you please get it together?
I'm not laughing about this story. I'm laughing about the last one still.
That's
what I'm saying.
I mean, one could make an argument that both of these stories are pretty funny. But I'm going to take the very serious tone with this one. Brilliant cartoonist, a political satirist, genius is a word I've seen thrown around.
Him?
No, it had the word not in front of it, but it was thrown around. Ben Garrison has COVID, says he will not go to the hospital, is eating horse paste. Ben Garrison is one of the worst political cartoonists. The word ever comes to mind.
Which is sad, because typically people on the right who somehow luck into good careers, like, are actually like talentless hacks. Ben Garrison, at least a decent artist.
Yeah, he's a decent artist. Yes.
Yeah, at least a decent artist. Like he really does nail that like political cartoon style.
Yeah, he does.
That's famous.
So this last cartoon, this is cartoon at the beginning, is will hopefully be quite hilarious in the future. I hope. Ben Garrison is like this like MAGA supporting cartoonist. And as you can see in this article, he's got this image of like a horse that says, "Get some horse sense," and it says ivermectin on it. And it's kicking Dr. Fauci, who's holding, I guess
it's supposed to be a vaccine. It looks like a flaccid penis with semen dripping out of it, essentially, which I guess is the point.
But it kind of looks like the horse paste that is ivermectin, but whatever. but it's hilarious because he's literally admitting that it's horse paste by drawing a horse and labeling it ivermectin.
Yes.
This dude's like, look, I'm not going. I'm not going to the hospital. Get fucked. The pro-Trump cartoonist says he's lost 15 pounds, but he is taking ivermectin.
And he's drinking beetroot juice.
Yeah, which
got a regular Dwight Schrute over here.
Yeah, yeah. Like as you know, the vaccine pretty much just beet juice. Like that'll work. That's
sure,
fine.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Quote: yes, it's definitely COVID, and we've had all the symptoms. My wife and I went with a couple to a restaurant, and the next day, all four of us were sick. One of us went to see the doctor and was told she has COVID, and that was the clincher. We're taking ivermectin and various vitamins, including a lot of zinc. The cartoonist also notes he's taking beetroot juice, like you said. None of this has been proven to treat or prevent COVID-19, with monoclonal antibodies and vaccines being the only real way to fight the pandemic.
He describes the vaccines as gene therapy.
Not what it is. Not what it is. Look, I mean this like on a serious note. You motherfuckers need to read. Like, yo, the CDC literally put out videos like explaining how this works.
God, what else? He invokes Bill Gates in his denial of the effectiveness of COVID vaccines.
Yes, no, of course. Fucking of course.
Naturally. He says Robert David Steele, whoever the fuck that is, went to a hospital with COVID and they killed him at the hospital because they get extra money for COVID death reports. The hospitals do.
This dude is a quality
fucking nutter.
So one, that is partially true. They do get they killed this guy.
Yeah.
Like that's fucking ridiculous. But they do get more funding. I was actually talking to someone about that they had a family member die recently. Mm-hmm. While in the hospital, and the hospital was like, we're going to mark it down as COVID. Right. And they were just like, this is a fucking conspiracy, whatever. And they were just like, Hey, dumbass, the federal government will pay for the funeral. You're broke. And they were just like, oh, because that's what happens, right? And some doctors are doing that if they know the families can't afford it, because people are out of work, right? So
cool health insurance system that we have
right,
in this country,
right? Like, I'm not saying that's fucking right, but they're trying to help people because a lot of people are out of work. So it's not just always the hospital is benefiting from that. It's that the federal government will actually help you. Which, by the way, my wife and I are planning on going to see the memorial in D.C. Uh-huh. My niece went. She lives in D.C. And took pictures and sent it to us. Dude, it is fucking astonishing.
It's just at the mall, isn't it?
Yes, but it's little white flags, I guess, on all the grass, you know, commemorating everybody who's died of COVID. Which, by the way, there's no way that is all of them, right? Because I think we're at 690,000 at this point, but like the images are kind of overwhelming. Like, it's just like it's fucking unbelievable, is what it is.
This not to throw a giant bucket of cold levity onto a very serious situation. The article later details who Robert David Steele was. He was a conspiracy theorist who frequently appeared on InfoWars.
Oh, good.
And one of the things that he believed is that NASA had imprisoned children on Mars to work as slaves.
Yes. No, I've seen that video. I've seen that video. And everyone on the video, including that nut bar, was like, yeah, no, that seems reasonable. The CIA has sex slave children, by the way, on Mars. Okay. That guy died?
So this guy, yes, sad. He died. He died sad. From COVID last month.
Sad.
So basically, this guy watched Total Recall and thought it was a documentary, essentially.
I'll turn the air on. No, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. That guy died. That's not a loss. Heaven did not lose an angel. Okay. Like, no, everything is fine.
Heaven did not gain an angel.
Whatever. I don't know. Turns out my whole point about Jesus blocking the whip was in Aladdin. As Anthony in our Discord pointed out. I'm pretty sure that's also in the Bible. But if you tell me it's only in Aladdin, I kind of like that fact even more, to be honest. And he shared the picture, which was funny. I was like, "That's
perfect." And then we had a fun debate about the fictionality of Jesus.
Oh yeah, that's right. Like, no, Aladdin is more real to me.
But we were trying to figure out who was also more successful, and then you threw at me that like, well, Aladdin is on Disney Plus, and then I threw out to you, so is Jesus.
Yeah, that's true. I don't want Jesus on my streaming service. That's where I go to watch Marvel and Star Wars. Get out of here, G-Man. Get out of here.
So you're telling me you're not going to watch the Jesus Disney movie?
I'm not saying that. I'm just I'm saying that for this conversation, I'm not going to watch it. I've watched it 7 times. It's so good. So Ben Garrison's in a world of trouble. I don't know if he's going to die. Just get the vaccine, dude.
Look, I wish I
don't
wish,
care if you do or not.
I wish him all the best, and by him I mean the virus. So
it's a little weird that you gendered the virus, but that's the weirdest part of that sentence for
that's
me.
That's fair.
That's it. The rest of it worked totally fine for me. I had no problem with it. All right, let's get into this week in stupid. Last story. Stephanie Grisham, Trump's former press secretary, I believe.
Technically. So she was
the one who didn't take any. Any press?
She started as Melania Trump's aide.
Right.
Like she was like the first 80s like aide. She got promoted to press secretary. Was the press secretary for Droopy Face. I can't remember her fucking name right now.
Oh,
Sarah Sanders.
Sarah Sanders.
Yeah.
Isn't she running for governor of Arkansas?
She's running for governor of Arkansas.
Fuck.
Yeah.
She's going to be the governor of Arkansas.
She's going to be the governor of Arkansas. Jesus Christ. But she seceded Sarah Sanders, was the press secretary for, I believe, like 9 months. And as you alluded to, did not hold a single press briefing in the time that she was the press secretary. I don't believe she did a single interview in the time that she was the White House press secretary, which is why I have to invite the question, was she actually the White House press secretary?
Yeah, she didn't do a single one. It's a bit weird.
Because to my knowledge, she never stopped being Melania Trump's aide, and she never performed any of the functions of the White House press secretary. So again, I can't say for sure that she was ever the White House press secretary.
Okay, I'm going to do a quick Google search. I don't remember what Stephanie Grissom looks like. My guess is she is Trump attractive. Like she's a woman that Trump would find attractive. That is my guess as to why she was there. Survey says, yep. Absolutely. That's, and I'm not saying that woman doesn't deserve to be there. I'm not shitting on her personally. Though I can shit on her professionally. You're in the Trump administration, you're garbage. But that is why she got that promotion, because that dude was like, I want to have sex with that woman. 100%. 100%.
And in the irony of all ironies, and I'm sure most people are aware of this by now, the title of her book is I'll Take Your Questions Now, which.
No, you don't. No,
I feel you won't. I feel like that tells me that she's in on the joke as well.
That's funny.
Yeah.
She kind of looks like a full white woman version of Kamala Harris, which is weird in some of these images.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I see where you're coming from there. Yeah. So.
Like if Kamala Harris was just like Kim Harris, like, yeah, I could see it. But thank God Kamala Harris has got something else going on, because that woman is not nearly as attractive. But that's not the point of this story. The point of this story is dicks. That's the point of the story. And more, incidentally. This article wasn't just about penises. So apparently, I'll start with the... I'll start with the dick part first, and then we'll go to the more serious parts, which are also funny. Donald Trump has a hit out for his former White House aide, Stephanie Grisham, for her new book, The One-Term President. I like that. I like that independent. Like, they don't have to write it, but they could have wrote the former president. But you know what? Fuck that guy. The one-term president attacked Stephanie Grisham because she said in her tell-all book that when Stormy Daniels came out and mentioned, like, she was like, I had to have sex with Donald Trump, a guy with, quote, Yeti pubes and a penis shaped like the toadstool from Mario Kart, Trump got really pissed. And he called his then press secretary, if you can call her that, and was like, I can assure you, it's not small and it's not shaped like a toadstool. It's, you know, it's like super big. All the chicks are digging it. Which is definitely what a dude who has a normal sized penis would do.
I have to imagine that the reason that he called his press secretary to make sure that she knew that is because he assumed that she would then inform the media, no, the president's penis is actually very normal, and there's no problems down there in the Trump parlance.
Can you imagine?
Yes, I can.
The president of the United States.
It didn't happen.
Like, if she had done press conferences, they probably would have. They would have had to ask her. Like, so does the president have anything to say about the toadstool shit? Look, because Thugs of News would have asked that question.
Thugs of News would have asked that question. 100%. I don't think the legitimate press corps would have asked. I think she would have offered it.
She's throwing this out before she takes any questions.
Like, I think she would have been like, oh, impromptu press conference, and be like, holy shit, something fucking crazy is happening.
Yeah, well, we're like, leaving Afghanistan. Grisham, like,
yeah,
nah,
Stephanie Grisham's calling a press conference. She's like, I just have to tell you, you probably seen the Story Daniels interview. I just want to make it clear, the president's penis is normal shaped.
And he has, quote, a hog, as he says. the only thing I could think of immediately upon reading this story is LBJ right now is laughing
from his grave
about how his giant penis was followed up by a micro penis in the White House.
I just, like I said, then the press be like, how do you know? Like, have you seen the penis? And Grisham will be like, no. Like, and they're like, can we ask Melania? And Melania's like, how would I know? I've never seen the penis. And like,
so, ugh, gross. But her body double has, ironically. So yeah, that, like, can you imagine the level of self-loathing that you have to have to call up your employee and be like, yo, my dick is big. Like, relax. Thanks.
Here's what else I know. Not the first woman who's worked for him that he's probably had to make that phone call to at one point or another.
You think he called Hope Hicks? You knew it was big, right? Right. You thought it was big.
You were right there on your knees.
Steaming. You saw the imprint. Like, yeah, I know. I did. Yeah, it was just massive, right? Yes, Mr. President. Huge.
Honestly, Trump's defense of his penis is probably the thing he was most adamant about during his entire, like, political career. Because remember, he had the moment, you know, with Rubio on stage, where Rubio, you know, was talking about his small hands.
I can assure you there's no problem.
No problem.
Wow, we're talking about a potential presidential candidate's dick on TV.
Yeah.
For real.
I mean, to be fair, Republicans had spent a lot of years previous to that talking about the president's penis. So, I mean, it's all they know.
I mean, okay, that's fair. That's fair. That is fair. That's why they can't imagine a woman being president. What are they going to talk about?
That's right.
There's a lot of tubes down there. We don't understand any of it. I wish I could. Let me see if I can find. There was a tweet that I responded to. Because I want to get your perspective on this, because it's like, God damn it. Hopefully I can find it soon. It's about sort of Republicans' view of women. And I don't know if I don't think I can find it. But basically it was saying Caitlyn Jenner was the perfect Republican woman. She's white. She's rich. She's like, she's obnoxious, and she doesn't have a pesky uterus. And, I think it was, the guy's name is like John Fugelsang or something like that. He's a liberal commentator.
I'm aware of him.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, he said it and I was like, I thought that was pretty funny. And people were like, that's transphobic. I'm like, that's not transphobic. He's saying that, like, Republicans don't give a shit about women, and they find the fact that they can have kids, hence a uterus, to just be an inconvenient notion of them, right? Like, for their agenda. I was like, I don't know. That joke hit perfectly for me, but apparently a lot of people just don't understand context, but just jump to conclusions. I just thought it was funny.
It is the world in which we live, so. Yeah,
that's transphobic. Like, dude, no, it's not. He literally was like, she's the perfect Republican woman. Like, he didn't put woman in quotes. He was just like, yeah, she's a, like our stance here. She's a woman. She's a piece of shit, but she's a woman. Like, we can respect her, you know, as a woman, but she's garbage. Like, as far as her political views, she's garbage. And she doesn't know anything, and she definitely deserved to lose in California.
And apparently is going to run again in the next gubernatorial election. So she says,
fine, whatever.
Because I guess getting 1% of the vote in a special election, less than 1% of the vote, a special election, and finishing like 10th is, you know, really, really, really strengthening your political.
She's fucking coming now. Yeah, nothing was better than her saying, you know, she supports the law, the abortion law in Texas, but she also supports the women in Texas. Yeah. Okay.
Perfect politician, honestly.
As a quote I saw from somebody who says, I support Thanos and the Avengers.
No, you can't support both. It's actually the literal fucking Simpsons quote from the Kang episode. Abortions for some, miniature American flags for others.
Right? Oh my God! Yeah, she's fucking useless. But there's more in this article that is equally crazy, right? Because I was just looking for the Shroomcock story, and then I found this. I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of wild. Also in Grisham's book, she makes the point of saying that that Trump said to Putin before they went out, like, to do press conferences at, like, the G20 in Osaka in 2019, that he said to Putin, quote, I'm going to act a little tougher with you for a few minutes, but it's for the cameras. And after they leave, we'll talk. You understand. I thought this guy was tough. Oh, by the way, this guy thought he was being tough on Putin.
Yeah, that's the thing I was going to ask.
Ever.
Like, can you please pinpoint the moment that he's referring to where he appeared to be tough on Putin?
I guess he was, during that G20 summit, he was blowing him without, you know, massaging his balls at the same time. And then he was like, and then afterwards he was like, I got the balls. Like, sorry, I didn't mean
like that. Like that was the same G20 where he basically like believed Putin over his intelligence.
Yeah, it was the soccer ball one. Right, it was the one he was like, "I brought you a soccer ball," and Trump's like, "Yeah, it was the fucking famous one. Like, get the fuck out of here! I'm being hard on you. When, dude? Like, that was you being hard on him? What was he saying behind closed doors? Holy shit! Like, Russia's the greatest country ever. I wish you guys would take over.
I want to thank you again for helping me get here. I really appreciate it. Again, when I leave, maybe you could build a large tower in your country with my name on it.
I mean, let's get real. Like, when's he going to start building hotels again?
I'm actually kind of shocked that he hasn't.
I'm shocked.
Actually, I'm not. They're fucking broke. I'm not shocked.
Well, that's fair. I mean, this dude's doing announcements at a fucking Evander Holyfield geriatric fight. Like, get the fuck out of here. This dude's got like $55 to his name. So yeah. Wow, I'm watching as I have the story open. There's a Fox News clip of Dog the Bounty Hunter talking about finding that guy who killed Gabby Petito.
Oh Jesus Christ!
Why are we talking to Dog the Bounty Hunter about anything? Did he use the N-word again? Fuck that guy! Take that feather out of your hair, you dickweed. So yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. There was also a whole thing about Trump bringing – oh, yeah, here it is. Is it the Air Force One? Like, oh, Trump after the penis jokes about his little shroom cock, Trump reportedly hid his colonoscopy news because he was worried about butt jokes. Donald Trump's mysterious visit to Walter Reed Medical Center in 2019 led to conspiracy theories about his secret illness. By the way, I still don't believe him.
I'm still going with stroke.
Yeah, I'm going with stroke. Dude, it didn't make any sense. Why are you hiding a colonoscopy? You're like 75 years old. Like, oh, the president, like, he's got a butt. Like, okay. Didn't George W. Bush go under, like, for his colonoscopy and then, like, Cheney was president for a while? No one made any jokes. No one cared. And they hated George W. Bush.
We probably would have made some jokes.
I mean, maybe us, right? We're juvenile assholes, but like the media wasn't like, this guy's butt, it's got a rod up there. Like, no one said anything. It was fine. Who cares? So she said he didn't want to be, quote, the butt of a joke on late night TV. Dude, you are the butt of every late night TV show for 4 years.
How is that going to stop anything?
Yeah. Oh, here's the other one. Donald Trump once requested a young female press aide be brought to his cabin on Air Force One so he could, quote, look at her ass, according to Stephanie Grisham. She wrote in her book that the former president became obsessed with this unnamed female staffer and constantly asked where she was during events. She said Trump was used an expletive to describe her rear end. Yes, his ass, and instructed that she be promoted to, quote, keep her happy. Yo, he is a creep. He is a creep.
What are we up to, 17 sexual assault allegations that have been brought against
him? Oh, no, I think it's higher than that. Is it in the 30s?
Is it?
It's like, yo, it's like 29 people, 29, 30 people.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a fucking ton.
it's more than a handful.
So. Yeah, several. There's also that's not surprising, like that he was like, hey, bring that hot chicken here. That's not surprising. Apparently also Melania, to get back at Trump, she picked like the best looking Marine to escort her places. I kind of love that. You know what you should have done, Melania? You should have fucked that Marine. That's what you should have done on the presidential
bed. I mean, who's to say that it didn't happen? I'm just saying.
You know how I know it didn't happen? Because that dude be bragging to everybody. High fives, bro. Yeah. Hell yeah, I bodied that. Yeah, and then Trump on E. Jean Carroll's case, the rape allegation case, he says, you just deny it. That's what you do in every situation, right, Stephanie? You just deny it. No, you don't do it. You don't do it. You don't do the rape, Donald. You don't do the rape. By the way, if that case is going forward, mm-hmm. yo, if that DNA is still like legit, he's in a world of fucking trouble. Cause he says he's never done anything. How'd you get jizz on her dress, dude?
Yeah.
Like it would have been better if he had said, oh, like I hate to say this cause it's a really shitty thing to do, but it would have been better if like, yeah, we met. And she blew me. Like, he'd be better off than saying, oh, I would never do that. Like, dude, she has your semen on her dress.
But again, that's kind of like the fucking insanity of him. Like, because he doesn't find her, or because he claims he doesn't find her attractive, like, right. It's somehow more damning to admit that you had a sexual encounter with her that was consensual than it would be to just deny it outright.
Yeah, I would just like if like I'm not saying that I'm glad he like I wish he had done this. I don't. But if he was trying to really cover his tracks, he'd just been like, mm-hmm. yeah, like, you know, we hung out and like because in his eyes, his motive is to demean her. Right. And to like make her look weak and smaller than her or smaller than him. I'd just be like, yeah. And then she's like, sucked my dick. Like. She wanted, like you could be a real asshole about like, she just wanted to give me a blowjob. She wanted to give the Dino the BJ and then be like, and then, yeah, like, and yeah. That's what happened. Like, but yeah, you're right. Like, he's so weirdly short-sighted in that way that he's just like, no, I've never even met this person. And I'm like, all right, then why is your jizz on her dress, dude? Like, yeah. Then you're in a world of trouble. How the fuck you explain that? Well, she stole it from you? Like, what the fuck? So it's, yeah, no, dude, just like you would have been better off just demeaning her and saying that. But I'm glad he didn't because I hope he gets fucking found guilty. Fuck him.
My favorite anecdote is that when he met with Boris Johnson, he apparently spent most of the time with him talking about Australia, a country that Boris Johnson is not the leader of.
Does he think that Australia is still a prison colony for Britain?
He probably doesn't see a distinction between Australians and English people.
Does he realize that Australia is on the other side of the world?
That cannot be confirmed.
I feel like he thinks it's right under Europe.
I feel like that if you were to show him a map that was unlabeled and say, can you point at Australia? He might point to Africa.
That's very possible. That's very possible. Or no, I think he would know I think he would know where Africa was. I think he would assume Australia is Madagascar.
There you go.
That is, he's like, no, it's right there. Like, it's not even that far away from, they just drive down. Like that. It's just
or maybe he would point to like Spain or something.
Yeah.
Like, cause it's right below England. Like it's right there. You know, oh, there it is. Australia.
The continent of Australia. Yeah. The fact that he know that he would know Australia is a continent. No. 0% chance. All right, any other parting words there, Brad?
No. I really hope that we can get this debt ceiling thing figured out because we've never find out what happens if we default on that before, and I really don't want to. And again, maybe we just get rid of the whole debt ceiling. Who's, you know?
It'd be nice.
No one has to worry about it. It'd be a lot of fun.
But then, Brad, how would we ever pay our bills? Our future bills that are coming up.
Yep.
Right? Through yep. some like bullshit mechanicians. I just love that. Like the news just will now be like, yo, you already bought this. Just say that. You already bought this. Why are you pretending like you didn't? Well that's look, not what I, it is. Like,
look, we're starting.
And like, it's an easy fact. Just go into any Republican and be like, all right, what are your thoughts on debt ceiling? Oh, I don't think we should raise it, blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, hold on. Isn't the debt, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't the debt ceiling what you've already spent? This is stuff from the Trump administration, is it not? Go on camera, Rand Paul, and tell us that it's not. That's not what it is.
Jay, please. Jay, there is hope for the future. If NBA reporters can start pushing back on NBA star athletes in their
COVID
lack of knowledge of HIPAA law.
Yo, it's HIPAA, bro. No, it's not. It doesn't work like that. Yo, that was my favorite story I read. I was like, well, fuck y'all then. Okay.
No, the actual quote from the reporter was, actually, it's not, but okay.
Yeah, but okay. which is like when you say something and then but okay, that's a real fuck you to the person that you're talking to. But okay. The debt ceiling is for future bills. It isn't, but okay. Fuck you, dude. No, that was a great story. Like,
yeah.
Look, LeBron James gets all the credit in the world for being like, look, I did my research, which he didn't. And I took the vaccine and so did my family. Like, none of them did. As someone said, like, yo, doing your research is like going to the library and like reading up on shit. Just Googling something isn't quote unquote doing your research. Like, did you have a beaker with you? No, you didn't. Shut up. You just ask someone who knew more than you. That's not quite.
I
mean, so
if someone that I clearly is like, oh, like I did research. Oh, like, can I see your peer reviewed findings then? If you don't mind, like, can I check this out?
Like, huh?
I wouldn't mind reading it. So
I would love to see your assessment. No, I mean, I just went to WebMD.
Here's this article. No, your research I want to see.
Yeah, no, you did.
Well, this is my research. I'm like, oh, so you just found something that agrees with a conclusion that you drew already in your head beforehand. Okay.
Got it. So this is not on PubMed? No? Okay. Cool. All right. Got it. Cool. Thanks, LeBron. Yeah, but at least LeBron's like, yeah, I'm not going to fuck up my entire career over this. That's stupid.
Or your money.
Your money.
Like the NBA, like apparently if an unvaccinated player misses games because of local restrictions, if since they're unvaccinated, then they're just not going to get paid for that game.
Oh, I like that.
The NBA said, like, if you're not going to get a shot, all right, but if you miss time from your team, we're not paying you.
And my guess is if they're out because of COVID, they don't get paid either.
I really fucking hope so.
Yeah, look, what is the NBA? If you have to forfeit a game, nobody gets paid.
Yeah,
that's the NFL. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
From either team.
Yeah, from either team. Yo, can you imagine? Because there's one team. Isn't there one team that's like fully vaccinated? Like they fired.
Yeah, I believe there is one team that is fully vaccinated.
Yeah, they fired everybody.
Just,
they were like.
But just one.
Yeah. If I recall, they fired two players. They were like, no, we fired them for other reasons. I was like, sure, that's the reason. They fired them. Like, nah, yo, everybody on this team is vaccinated. You don't want to be vaccinated, you're done. But look, it is what it is. Yeah, you make millions of dollars. Take a shot. Stop being stupid. But, you know, one of these guys, one of these superstars is going to end up with COVID and have long-term COVID symptoms, and they're going to have to end their career. And then it's going to be like, oh, I should have got vaccinated. Yeah, you should have. Oh, well.
You'll still not in this day and age, we won't. You'll still fucking idiots. They'll be like, yeah, it sucks for him, but it won't happen to me.
I mean, you know, statistically, getting into professional sports is a pretty low percentage, so... Yeah, maybe that's how they look at it. Like, what's the worst that could happen? Like, all right, fair enough. Good luck with your ACL.
You could fucking die, but okay.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, if we still have not had a major, major, major person die from COVID. We still.
Poor Herman Cain.
He's the biggest name. I mean, he literally has an award named after him. But like, not that I want this guy to die, but like if Steven Spielberg died, you'd be like, yo, all right.
Sorry. You mean representative of liberal Hollywood, Steven Spielberg?
How convenient.
Yeah.
Right. Like, but you need like, I don't know. You need like John Voight to die on the right. Right. They love John Voight.
Oh please.
Oh.
Maybe we can do the John Voight James Woods 1-2 combo. Maybe
Jeez.
They can make.
Jesus. Are they not going to make any more FX movies? Oh. Dennehy's gone, right?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. So, yeah, James, I used to love James Wood, man. He used to be one of my favorite actors. And then he turned out to be a real prick.
I like John Voight, too.
Yeah. You know, driving around John Voight's car, like everybody yelling at me. It's a fucking convertible Chrysler LeBaron. Chrysler LeBaron. Like, yeah, it's a John Voight's pencil. Isn't John spelled It doesn't have an H in it. Oh, another John Voight. All right. I think that's it for us. And we will see you guys next week.
See ya.